So the first speaker will be Olivier Rento. You know, Olivier is from Lyon, and Olivier is manipulating the stem cells in to force them into specific lineages, I think, to use them in for medical application, more or less. So I think it's a very interesting talk, and we're very happy that you accepted to come, Olivier. And we're going to listen to you and start slowly, give a long introduction so that more people can come in, right? Take your time. Take your time. I think that Friesen would not be here. I mean, he's not well, and so he has canceled this presentation. So the day will be short, and so we have more time.
So good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to make the wake-up talk. So I really want to thank Alain and Ariel for the invitation to join this very interesting meeting. The day yesterday was just fantastic. So the work is in my lab, as Alain was saying, is focusing on the supernuclear zone as a terminal region. And over the years, we have been doing quite a number of experiments focusing on single gene, single transcription factor, single signaling pathways, trying to manipulate these genes by classical gain of function and loss of function experiments, and to know about the function of these genes in neurostem cell biology in the supernuclear zone. So in the study that I will present to you today, we choose a different strategy, and this is the strategy that I will speak about today. So here we've tried to identify small bioactive molecules which do not target a single gene or a single CNN pathways, but target many genes, hundreds of genes, in order to manipulate the supernuclear zone germinal activity in a lineage-specific manner, as I will show you. So unfortunately, my introduction is very short. Because most of this has been introduced already yesterday. So we know that there is two germinal regions in the postnatal brains. We know that there is the Dante gyrus here of the hippocampal formations. We are not working anymore onto this structure. We are focusing our work on this second structure here, the wall of the lateral ventricle. Wall of the lateral ventricles where neurostem cells are located and generate not only neurons, but also glia cells. So this is the cellular organization of this subventricular zone, which have been described by the labs of Alvarez Pia and Fiona Deutsch. So this is oversimplified. Of course, we've got different cell types which are forming the neurogenic niche. We've got here the neurostem cells, neurostem cells that will give rise to the transient amplifying progenitors, or TAPs, TAPs that will give rise to oligomerosis and neuroplast. So this scheme is oversimplified. We've seen yesterday already that there are several types of neurostem cells. They are both quiescent and activated stem cells. It is still unclear also if these stem cells are unipotent, monopotent, if they only give rise to glia cells or to neurons, or if they can give rise to both types of cells, or if they are multipotent. So anyway, with this on board, we can see already that there is a three-dimensional organization of the neurogenic niche. We can see that there is, at the cellular level, quite a precise, specific organization of these cells in the supernuclear zone. These 3D organizations can also be appreciated at the macroscopic level, so at the level of the germinal regions itself. So if you zoom out, you quickly realize that stem cells located in different regions of the supernuclear zone, dorsal regions, ventral regions, caudal regions, rostral regions, are not all the same. They are highly heterogeneous. These cells, depending on their location, will express different transcription factors and will generate different cell types. So in the lab, we are looking at these supernuclear zones in three dimensions, and this is illustrated by this animation. So we've got here the mouse skull, we've got here the brain, and we can now appreciate a little bit more the complexity of the ventricular system. We've got a volume in this ventricular system. We see here the lateral ventricle, we see here the third ventricle, the ventral third ventricle. Only the lateral ventricle shows a sustained germinal activity. So on top of this volume that we generate by making serial sections, by surrounding region of interest, and by placing the exact position of defined cell types, we can see that nerve stem cells are not homogeneously distributed, but accumulate in the rostralmos region of the lateral ventricle. So these volumes are not only interesting for visualization, but they allow to appreciate quite a number of things. First of all, that these stem cells are not only located in the lateralmost region of the lateral wall of the lateral ventricles, but you can see that these stem cells are also located in the dorsalmost region of the lateral ventricles, as well as in the medialmost and rostralmost region of the lateral ventricles. So basically, we've got a rostral enrichment, but we've got nerve stem cells in all walls of the lateral ventricle. This is particularly important because you can see that the subventricular zone can be divided in several walls. Here, the dorsal wall, which appears in red, and here, the lateral wall, which appears in green. And these walls have different embryonic origin. So the lateral wall mainly derived from the lateral ganglionic eminence, and the dorsal wall mainly derives from the pallium. That is to say that the stem cells which are located in these different walls will have different history. They've got different origins, they will have been exposed to different cues, they will express different transcription factors, and they will eventually acquire different fates. So to make it very simple, if we make a cross-section through the rostralmost region here of the lateral ventricles, we can see here now the lumen of the ventricles where the cerebrospinal fluid is located. And we can see here the dorsal SVZ and here the lateral SVZ. Both walls, as I showed you, contain nerve stem cells. The lateral wall nerve stem cells have been so far the most studied. Those give rise to a variety of GABAergic neuron progenitors, all of which can be recognized with the pan GABAergic marker, DLX2. The dorsal wall, on top of producing GABAergic internerons, will also produce progenitors of oligomerocytes that can be labeled with OLIC2, and progenitors of glutamatergic neurons that we can label using TBR2. So this is oversimplified. The situation is a lot more complex than that. But this is basically all the information that you really need for the rest of the talk. So conclusion of this introduction, that was definitely very short. The postnatal subventricular zone is populative of spatially distinct progenitor population. So some years ago, when I was still in Zurich, we initiated a program of work which aimed at digging into this spatial heterogeneity of the subventricular zones. And for this, we undergo a transcriptional study, comparative study, that I will briefly present you. This study was designed to identify transcription factors, but also signaling molecules that are differentially expressed or active in different microdomains of the postnatal SVZ. The factors, the signaling factors, were particularly interesting for us, as we believe that those factors can be manipulated to manipulate subventricular zone regionalization, both in health as a proof of principle that the system is still plastic, that you can either dorsalize it, either ventralize it, either generate a specific lineage of cells, or in disease when specific cell type needs to be replaced. So this is the approach that we have used for this transcriptional study that has been now published. So I'll be really fast on that. So the movie explained it all. So we've got the brain rotating, we cut through the brain, got access, the skull, we cut through the skull, get access to the brain, microdissect the dorsalmost region and the lateralmost region, dissociate the cells, get the RNA, and we are all fine to make our microarrays. So we don't do any in vivo imaging, but we do a lot of fake animations. So this was done by microdissecting the subventricular zone based on the use of the MASH1 or ACL1 AGFP mouse. And we've done three postnatal stages. As you can see, we're not very really speaking about adults. We are speaking about early postnatal stages, P4, P8, and P11. Why did we choose these stages? We choose these stages because the germinal activity of these regions at these early postnatal stages is very strong. Plus, the diversity of lineages which originated from the SVZ at these stages is maximal. So the dorsal and lateral SVZ were microdissected at these three postnatal stages, and we did a first analysis which allowed us to look at the spatiotemporal pattern of expression of regionally enriched genes. We completed this study with a second animation, where we, on top of dissociating the dorsal and lateral wall, fact-sorted the different cell types of interest to us. That is to say, the nerve stem cells, the taps, and the anterior wall, both for the dorsal and lateral SDC. So for this, we made use of these two transgenic mice. The first one is the S5 mice. We heard about S5 yesterday, so this is downstream of Notch. And when combined with promenin 1, this allows you to pretty accurately isolate nerve stem cells. And the MASH1 is BHLH proteins, which is transiently expressed. We heard about that in Sebastian's talk. In TAPS. So this was done at a single time point, postnatal day 4. Cells were sorted and we did two types of analysis. First, we looked at region-independent transcription all marker of nerve stem cells and progenitors. And finally, we looked at the region-specific transcription all mark of these same cells. So the results have been summarized in those reviews. They are schematized in a simplified way here. So we've got quite a number of transcription factors that we see to be expressed in nerve stem cells. Some of them are generic to the nerve stem cells, so there is no regional differences in their pattern of expression. Those are believed to act into the basic biology of stem cell self-renewal, differentiation, and so on. Some of these transcription factors can be observed in the lateral nerve stem cells, and as you can see, a variety of transcription factors can be seen in the dorsal nerve stem cells. And if you look at nodes, transcription and nodes, you can see that some are related to oligonal genesis, some are related to nerve genesis, and finally, some are related to astrogenesis. So we've got, in the dorsal regions, nerve stem cells, which express transcription factors associated with the three lineage produced by nerve stem cells. So this is the summary of this published study. By making these microdissection at P4, P8, P11, and by isolating our stem cells at P4, both for the dorsal and lateral, we could show that the postnatal dorsal and lateral region of the SVZ are independent germinal regions that contain unique transcriptional signatures. The data sets have been shared, so you can access them, and we believe they represent a resource to identify key genes and CNN pathways to manipulate supranuclear zone regionalization. And this is using these data sets that we went further in our analysis to identify those signaling pathways to manipulate. So the first analysis that we did here in this new study was to sort all transcripts associated with signaling pathways and metabolic processes. And then we classified all these transcripts based on their regional expression and based on geocategories. As you can see here, only two of the top 10 geocategories overlapped in between the dorsalmost and the lateralmost regions. Those were chemotaxis and notch signaling, indicating that these CNN pathways play a very fundamental role in the control of nerve stem cells' behavior. All the other categories are different in between the two walls, clearly indicating that the signalings that operate in the dorsal and lateralmost regions of the lateral ventricles are completely different. So if we zoom now on what we call morphogenes, which are all secreted molecules, secreted ligands, growth factors, mitotic factors, this is what you obtain. So the green, and this would be the case in all the studies that we present you, means high expression. The red, low expression. And we've got here our sample, nerve stem cells and TAPS, and the entire wall at different time points. So there is two take-home messages here. The first take-home message is that nerve stem cells and TAPS, whereas in the dorsal and lateral regions, don't express many of these ligands. Most of these ligands are expressed by the cells surrounding these cells, that is to say by the niche cells. The second take-home message here is that the diversity of ligands being enriched in the dorsal regions is far greater than the number of ligands enriched in the lateral regions. And this goes along with the greater diversity of lineages that the dorsal wall is giving rise to. So among the ligands that you cannot see here, I point out a few of them. So the first ligand is usual suspect SSH, which has been shown by the group of Alper's Bia to be enriched in the ventralmost region here of the lateral ventricles and to play a role in the ventralization of the lateral ventricle. Another usual suspect here enriched in the dorsal regions are wind related genes, and I will come back to these wind related genes later in the talk. So, altogether, this first analysis show that neurostem cells heterogeneity, regional heterogeneity, I should say, is controlled by multiple intrinsic and extrinsic factors. Whereas intrinsic factors manipulations requires complex genetic methods, gain of function, loss of functions, extrinsic factors such as signaling pathways, we believe, can be reached more easily and can be used to manipulate supernuclear zone regional activity in a lineage-specific manners in regenerative context. In order to do so, one needs not only to identify these signaling pathways, one needs to identify the tools to manipulate these signaling pathways. And for this, we need to determine links between signaling pathways and transcription networks that define specific neural lineages in the postnatal SVD. So in order to do this, we established in the lab a methodology that I will present you now, which is completely unpublished, which is based on the use of connectivity map, similarities in the transcriptional signature that we observed in the SVZ, and transcriptional signatures induced by small bioactive molecules. So the approach is very, very simple, but seems to be very powerful. So the first step in this approach is to extract from the transcriptional data set the transcriptional signature, sorry for that, the transcriptional signatures of a specific region or of a specific cell lineage. So for example, transcriptional signatures of the dorsal SBZ versus transcriptional signature of the lateral SBZ. Second step is to make use of a web-based interface, the SPEED database, which is a search engine, which allow you to compare these transcriptional signatures to the transcriptional signatures induced in different cell types by small bioactive molecules. It mainly integrates the CMAP project, the connectivity map projects, where 1,600 small molecules have been tested and their transcription signatures determined. So by doing this systematically, one can find a match in between the transcriptional profile of the small molecules and the transcriptional profile of your carried sample. So in theory, the small bioactive molecules should be able to induce either dorsalization, lateralization, or anything else. So the beauty of the approach is that the similarity in between your carried transcriptional signatures and those induced by your small bioactive molecules highlight a number of target genes. And those target genes can be analyzed. And this gives you information on predictions, what your small molecules should do. So this post-hoc analysis is done this way. We take all target genes and we classify them based on geopathways mapping and process networks. This will give you information about the mode of action of your small molecule. We then do a short path network identification of highly connected signaling to transcriptional nodes. These highlight a number of transcriptional nodes that will not only give you information on, that will not only predict the mode of action of your small molecules and the cell type onto which your small molecules will act, but also that give you a number of readouts that you can use to test the efficiency of your small molecule. The last step consists in infusing your small molecules in vivo to see if you obtain the expected effects. In vivo applications can be done by intraventricular infusion, can be done also, and we are doing that actually in the lab, by intranasal infusion, therefore leading to a less invasive approach. So this might all seem quite unclear so far, but I will give you a number of examples where we have done this analysis and we have obtained expected results. So we did, in fact, in this study, four analyses, and they are shown here. First, we extracted the transcriptional signatures of dorsal nerve stem cells versus dorsal taps in order to, by feeding the SPID database, identify small molecules that would dorsalize the postnatal SBZ. We did the same for looking at small molecules that would ventralize the SBZ. We then combine our data set with published data set from the Ben Barres lab, extracting the transcription signatures of oligodendrocytes in comparison to dorsal nerve stem cells and dorsal taps, which give rise to this lineage. By doing so, we were hoping to find small bioactive molecules that would have poor oligodendroglial effects. And finally, we looked at small bioactive molecules which had the potential to rejuvenate the adult SBZ by comparing the transcriptional profile of postnatal nerve stem cells to those of adult nerve stem cells using datasets from the Goetz lab. So as you can see, we found quite a large number of small bioactive molecules which had the potential to either dorsalize, ventralize, produce oligodendrocytes, or rejuvenize the adult SBZ. And those small bioactive molecules were classified based on their known function. And you should be careful here, they've got plenty of unknown function. These are their known function. So it's not that informative, but it shows that the pies look quite different in the different analyses, suggesting some level of precision and accuracy. So you can see, for example, here that for the poor oligodendroglia, we've identified quite a number of small molecules which either target cell cycle or epigenetic mechanisms, and those were lowly or absent in other analyses. So we took the top 10 ranked small molecules based on their number of target genes. To give you an idea, most of these small molecules will target about 1,000 genes. So it's a large number of genes that we get targeted. In the top 10 ranked small molecules, we obviously didn't go first for the most mysterious one, that might be the most interesting. We went for the one that we had an idea of their function in order to validate the approach. So a very interesting class of small molecules were the two shown here, and these were identified when looking for the dorsalizing and ventralizing small molecules. ARA is a GSK3 beta inhibitor, whereas nitropropionic acid is an activator of GSK3 beta. So by targeting GSK3 beta, we should be able, in one way or the other way, to influence the dorsal ventralization of the postnatal SBZ. Interestingly, if we look at rejuvenating drugs, in the top five, we found again ARA. And finally, when we look at poor oligodendroglial small molecules, we found a small molecule called LY294002, which I will call LY, which is supposed to target the PI3K-AKT pathway. So I will start with these last small molecules to validate our approach and to see if these small molecules will infuse in the lateral ventricles indeed induce oligodendrogenesis. So these are the target genes of LY, which has been classified here for the level of expression in different cell types. So you can see that level of expression, always in green, is high in the oligodendrocyte lineage, but very low in the dorsal tap and dorsal stem cells, their site of origin. When looking at geocategories, both for process network and pathway map for these target genes, one can identify quite a number of categories associated with oligodendrogenesis, as expected. One can identify also some categories implying that these small molecules should have an effect on the inhibition of the ERK pathway. On the opposite, you can see that a lot of the downregulated target genes are associated with cell cycle, you can see some associated with notch signaling pathways and some associated with the ESSH pathway. So if you make a short path analysis, this is what you obtain. You can identify quite a number of transcription nodes, which will be targeted by these small molecules. You can see that some nodes will be involved in organogenesis. Those are for the upregulated nodes. And for the downregulated nodes, you can see that we have an inhibition, or we can predict an inhibition of notch signaling, an inhibition of neurogenesis, and an inhibition of astrogenesis. So we should have, at the end, effects which will be restricted to organogenesis. Is it what we observe? So the first analysis that we did here was to infuse the LY in the lateral ventricles of early postnatal animals, then to microdissect the dorsal and lateral SVZ, and to perform Western blot in order to look at inhibition of AKT, which is expected. This is a function of these small molecules. We've got a nice inhibition of these pathways, but also to look at inhibition of the ERK pathways, which was predicted by our analysis, and we could confirm, indeed, inhibition of this second pathway, implying either crosstalk in between the two pathways or side effect of the small molecule. We then did a number of qPCR experiments in order to look at the lineages which were affected by infusion of LY, and as you can see, we've got, as predicted, downregulation of nestin, downregulation of neuronal markers such as double chordin, TOSH1, downregulation of PCA, a marker of proliferation, and upregulation of all markers associated with the oligonucleoside lineage. Finally, as predicted, we see a downregulation of notch pathway. So far, everything fits what was predicted by the speed analysis. Is it confirmed by the histology? The answer to this question is yes. As you can see here, we've got a control animal. Here we've got animals where LY have been infused for 2 days in the lateral ventricles. This is an OLI2 staining, a staining of OPCs and all of the oligonucleoside lineage. And you can see that there is a huge burst of oligonogenesis in the dorsalmost region of the synchronic zone. When looking at the different cell types in the neurogenic niche, you can see that, as predicted, we've got a decreased number and a decreased proliferation of GFAP-positive cells in contact to the lumen of the ventricles. These are the stem cells at this early postnatal stage. And we've got a decrease of neuroblasts. We've got an increased proliferation of OLI2-positive cells, that is to say, of OPCs. So this sort of validated the approach, all what we had predicted with the speed analysis and with the post-hoc analysis of the target genes are indeed confirmed both by the Western blot, by the qPCR, and by the histology. So let's look at other small bioactive molecules. As I told you, we were very interested by these GSK3 beta inhibitors, not only because we had previously done some work with them, so we know how they work, but also because they were identified in two different analysis as potential molecules to dorsalize or to rejuvenate the adult SVZ. So here we made use of ARA, which was identified in our screen, which is a first generation GSK3 beta inhibitors, but we also made use of a second generation GSK3 beta inhibitors, which is called SHIA, which is supposed to be more specific. So first, same procedure, let's look at the target genes of ARA, and as you can see, these target genes are greatly enriched in dorsal nerve stem cells when compared to ventral nerve stem cells. They are also greatly enriched in dorsal postnatal nerve stem cells when compared to adult nerve stem cells. So clearly, they induce a number of genes which are associated with dorsalization of the postnatal SVZ or regionalization of the adult SVZ. Classification of these target genes shown here. Here I highlight a number of categories. You can see that quite a large number of categories are associated with Wnt signaling. We know that GSK3 beta act downstream of Wnt. This is not a big surprise. Here in the upregulated nodes, we can identify quite a number of transcriptional nodes, some associated with oligonogenesis, some associated with neurogenesis, so we should have an effect on these two lineages. And this highlights also a transcription node associated with Wnt beta-catenin signaling, that is to say, canonical wind signaling. So what we can predict from this first analysis is that by injecting ARA, these GSK3 beta inhibitors, in the lateral ventricles, we should activate the wind canonical pathway, and we should induce both organogenesis and neurogenesis. So this is a schematic representation of the wind pathways. We've got here wind lichens binding their receptors. This binding leads to inactivation of GSK3 beta, stabilization of beta catenin in the cell cytoplasm that will mediate its function through adhesions, but also through nuclear translocation and activation of downstream target genes, such as DEF1. So by using ARA and SHIR, we will inhibit pharmacologically GSK3 beta and we will activate this wind canonical pathway. So yesterday we heard that these inhibitors are not that specific because GSK3 beta is in the center of many different CNN pathways. However, here we've got a number of experiments that I won't have time to show you that shows that wind canonical is the main activated pathways using this pharmacological approach. So first, let's look at regional activation of the wind canonical pathways in the naive animal. So we've got here the bat gall mice that reveal activity of the wind canonical pathways. You can see that this activity is seen in the dorsalmos region of the lateral ventricles. We've got then a gradient through the lateral wall, but we've got almost no activity at all in the ventralmos region of the lateral ventricle. So clearly, in the postnatal SVZ, we've got a dorsal gradient of wind that opposes a ventral gradient of SSH and that may be involved in the dorsalization of this germinal region. The source of wind is expressed both locally in the dorsal wall. In fact, these are OPCs that secrete WNT3 and that will have a direct effect onto activity of these signaling pathways in the dorsal region. Plus, we've got a lot of wind ligands which are coming from the CSF by secretion from the choroid plexus. Are the two dorsal lineages showing some level of wind canonical activity? Here we tested for expression of bat gall in the bat gall mice in the two populations of progenitors, the OLIC2 and TBR2 progenitors, and the answer to this question is yes. So we next infused GSK3 beta inhibitors, both R and SHIR, in the lateral ventricles of some early postnatal animals, and we confirm again using Western blot efficiency on inhibition of GSK3 beta and activation of the wind beta catenin pathways, in particular cytosolic accumulation, nuclear accumulation of beta catenin. Results are shown here. The approach works perfectly. It should be noted that the effects are stronger in the dorsal regions than they are in the lateral regions, as you can see here. In order to determine the effect of this infusion on a specification of dorsal lineages, we electroporated neurostem cells that at this early stage are in direct contact to the lumen of the ventricles with a GFP plasmid, and we looked in control animals and following ARA infusion, the fate of these cells. As you can see, when we infuse ARA, we favor acquisition of a TBR2 or LX2 fate at the expense of a DLX2 fate. So in other words, we promote a production of glutamatergic neuron progenitors and OPCs at the expense of GABAergic neuron progenitors. So as I told you before, these small molecules was also identified in our screen looking at small molecules that have the potential to rejuvenate the adult SVZ, and this will be the last part of my talk. So the first step, we looked at decreased activity of the wind canonical pathways in the SVZ during aging. We looked at P6, P60, and P100. We did first qPCR, showing a clear decrease from postnatal stages to adult stages of wind canonical target genes LEF1 and AXIN2, but also of the marker associated with activity of these signaling pathways, in particular TBR2, which almost disappear by P120, as you can see here. So histology confirmed these qPCR measurements. As you can see, we've got a clear decrease over time of wind canonical activity in the dorsal region of the SVZ. we've got a parallel decline, very rapid, of the number of TBR2 progenitors. And finally, we've got a parallel decline of the number of OLIG2 positive progenitors. So clearly, during aging, we've got shutting down of Wnt beta-catenin signaling in the dorsal region of the lateral ventricle. This can be quantified, as shown here. And what we've decided to do here was to take a time point where these lineages were largely reduced and to implant pumps in order to infuse in the lateral ventricles ARA. So this implantation was done in the coronamus region of the lateral ventricles, and only the rostralmus regions were investigated for the effect on different cell lineages. The results are shown here. So you can see that both ARA infusion and shear infusion showed exact same effect. We've got a phenocopy. So you can see that the number and proliferation of GFAP positive cells facing the lumen of the ventricles is largely increased. So the stem cells at this early age, at this late age. And you can see that there is increased proliferation with both Ki67 and DO. You can also see that we greatly increase the number of OPCs, we greatly increase, multiplied by 6, the number of glutamatergic progenitors with this TBR2 staining. So with this talk, I showed you that the suprachiasmatic is not a germinal region that one should look in two dimensions. The suprachiasmatic has a third dimension. It has a regional organization. And this regional organization is important to take into account when analyzing the transcriptional profile of these regions. By extracting transcriptional profile of different subregions of the postnatal suprachiasmatic zone, I showed you that we were able, by connectivity map analysis, to identify small bioactive molecules that can induce similar transcriptional changes, and by using these small bioactive molecules that we could influence regionalization of the subventricular zone. These are the people which have been involved in this work. Kazum Azim, Anahi Hurtado, and Bruno Fischer were working with me in Zurich, and they have initiated all this work. Kazum is still actively involved in this project, even if he's now a postdoc in Benedict Berlinger lab. And these are the people in Lyon. Guillaume Marcy and Jan were the main people involved in this project. These are the collaborators, Arthur Butt for the oligodendrogenesis part, and Garrett Medium, which have established this PID web-based database for the analysis that we have performed here. And I thank you for your attention.